My guest at this time is Alireza Jafarzadeh. He is the Deputy Director of the U.S. Representative's Office of the National Council of Resistance of Iran. That is the organization that warned the world more than a decade ago of Iran's clandestine nuclear program. Ali is also the author of The Iran Threat, and he's the head of Strategic Policy Consulting. We want to get his reaction today, obviously, to the deal over the weekend between the United States and Iran, as well as five other nations that is designed to curtail Iran's nuclear abilities, especially in terms of nuclear weapons. And Ali, thanks so much for being with us.
Sure. Thank you very much. Always a pleasure.
Here's what the president said Saturday night, Ali, about what this agreement is supposed to achieve.
Today, that diplomacy opened up a new path toward a world that is more secure, a future in which we can verify that Iran's nuclear program is peaceful and that it cannot build a nuclear weapon.
Now, President Obama and Secretary Kerry say that Iran has agreed, of course, to not enrich uranium at anything close to weapons-grade levels, only for energy-producing levels, and that there will be free and open inspections, essentially, to verify that that is what is happening in Iran. What's your reaction to all this?
When you look at the Iranian nuclear weapons program and everything they have been doing regarding the negotiations and the most recent supposedly deal that was reached with Iran, we have to look at the background, what has been going on in the past two decades, to say the least. We have to remember that Iran was never clear about his program. In fact, all for over two decades, they've been hiding their program in secret. They developed a very advanced program clandestinely until in August of 2002, the National Council of Resistance of Iran revealed the nuclear sites in Natanz and Arak, the heavy water facility in Arak and the uranium enrichment facility in Natanz, which for the first time triggered the IAEA inspections and all the things that happened ever since. So we're talking about a regime whose intention since day one has been to hide its program. Then when the agreement was reached over a decade ago that Iran would allow some level of, actually, in their view, full inspection of the nuclear sites of Iran, again, the cheating continued in a different form. For instance, in June of 2004, when the IAEA, after repeated calls to inspect a site known as Lavizan Shian, which was again exposed by the main Iranian opposition, by the time they got there, they found that the soil was removed, all the buildings were razed, and there was pretty much nothing left for them to inspect. And then, you know, the same approach has been, and there are a number of serious outstanding issues already that have never been answered by the Iranian regime, mostly dealing with the weaponization aspect of their program. So unless there is a much more stringent and comprehensive inspection regime, I don't think the international community will succeed in detecting what Iran is actually doing. So that really remains to be seen.
Sounds like you're disagreeing with the president's contention that this will essentially prevent Iran from developing a nuclear weapon. On the other side of the debate, you have folks like columnist George Will, certainly the Israelis and other leaders who are concerned about this deal, saying this will actually hasten the development of a nuclear weapon because it frees up Iran on the financial front. What do you make of those allegations?
Those are very valid allegations to take into consideration. Why? Because you don't want to provide financial assistance to this regime because that money is definitely going to be used at least partially in funding the very same program that you want to stop. Second, the kind of relief that is provided to this regime must be, you know, conditional, definitely. I mean, there are a number of things that are mentioned in the agreement. The question is, who is going to implement them? How strictly they're going to implement them? And do they understand who they're dealing with? This is a regime that you know, continues to hide this program. The person, the new president that everyone is boasting about, Hassan Rouhani, was actually the chief nuclear negotiator in 2003 when he later boasted that he cheated the outside world. He cheated the Western countries when Iran promised to freeze its program and insinuated as though it has frozen its program, but in fact, they were completing and repairing, the program itself. So that's why I think what is really the devil is in the details, what exactly all of these steps that is enlisted really mean and how it's going to be implemented. But I think one point we need to keep in mind, the very fact that this regime agreed to whatever they agreed to shows their weakness, their vulnerability. This is something that should have been exploited. If the international community, and particularly the United States, was decisive enough, this was a regime that you could have actually forced them to abandon their entire program because they were in trouble. They were facing major problems. There were three reasons that really brought them to the table. Number one, the sanctions, international sanctions. Second, there have been widespread protests and opposition inside Iran against Supreme Leader Khamenei. And third, repeated revelations by the NCRI, the main Iranian opposition, about various nuclear sites. So this was a regime that was in trouble. This was the time that you needed to increase the pressure and force them to make the serious concessions that they were supposed to do. They didn't. They didn't press them hard enough. The agreement could have been much, much stronger. That would, in effect, really abandon and dismantle the nuclear weapons program of Iran. It didn't.
Let's just put it out there point blank. Can the Iranian regime be trusted to honor any agreement that it is a part of?
Absolutely not. They have never honored any agreements at all in any issues, but particularly on the nuclear weapons program of Iran. We should keep in mind the whole track record about their nuclear program, how this whole program was exposed, how they made promises, they violated that. There were several UN Security Council resolutions starting in 2006. Why were those resolutions there? Because Iran was in noncompliance. Iran said something and did something else. Eventually, the European countries, the 5+1, and before that it was the EU3, that were negotiating with Iran, they gave all kinds of concessions to Iran, and Iran agreed to do certain things, and then they violated that. That's why we had those Security Council resolutions. That's why those Security Council resolutions said that all enrichment-related activities need to be stopped. When you drop all of those things and say, okay, we're going to start from scratch, we're going to trust you, let's sit down and negotiate in good terms and let's see how we're going to proceed, you must have a system in place that will be much more vigorous, much more stringent, and much more comprehensive in terms of inspecting those sites. Though the access to the nuclear sites of Iran that has been questionable, like the site in Parchin, The two recent revelations by the Iranian resistance about the sites where they're doing weaponization research, this is an issue that has been left out from the agreement. Those are the things that the IAEA must pursue, the United States must press on it, because it's not all about enrichment. It's also about the nuclear weaponization program of Iran, the kind of research and development they've been doing going along with the enrichment program. That aspect can be pursued even using the language, the present language. They can say, okay, you agreed to inspections. We want to go to all of these sites that you haven't allowed us to go there. If there's no problem there, if you have nothing to hide, then we're going to press to go and inspect those places. Those are the issues the United States must press on, this administration must press on, and I think we need to demand from this administration that this is the kind of inspections that we expect them to do.
Last question before we let you go, Ali. This is a tentative agreement. It's supposed to last 6 months, and in that 6 months, the same parties are planning to try and put together a formal permanent treaty with Iran on this issue. Where do you expect all of this to stand 6 months from now?
Honestly speaking, I think it all depends on the how seriously and how strongly this administration will pursue it. If Tehran detects that the White House is pretty much happy with what they got, they can play games with the White House and the State Department about this, And then you're going to be either back to square one or in a worse situation 6 months from now. On the other hand, if this administration would stress on some of the points in this agreement and really, really press it hard, we could be actually several steps ahead, not back, ahead of where we are. So I think, you know, the ball is in the court of the United States. How they're going to pursue this and where we're going to stand 6 months from now, it's all in the hands of the U.S., period.
Very good. Ali, thank you so much for your time today. We always appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Always a pleasure to be on your show.
Thank you, sir. Ali Reza Jafarzadeh, a former spokesman for the National Council of the Resistance of Iran, which warned the world about Iran's clandestine nuclear activity more than a decade ago. Ali is the author of The Iran Threat, and he's currently the head of strategic policy consulting in Washington. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.